Our study tonight is out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. God's promise to destroy Judah's Gentile oppressors. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and he gave God's directives and future hope. Zechariah 1, 18 to 21 presents the second prophetic vision on the judgment of the Gentiles and Israel's restoration and the institution of the Messianic Kingdom. The second vision is about four horns and four craftsmen, the horns representing entities that scattered and oppressed Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, and the four craftsmen representing those entities that God used to destroy the four horns that scattered and oppressed his people. We view the passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Zechariah 1, 18 to 21, just four verses. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked to me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. I want to translate that, four craftsmen. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spoke, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man can lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, or to terrify them, and to cast them out in the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Okay. At first, in the first glance, this looks very, very difficult, but it gets pretty simple when you look at it in view of the wide context. Since the first vision of the red horse rider among the myrtle trees in the ravine expressed God's anger against the Gentile nations for their oppression of Israel, the second vision built on that theme to express God's consequent punishment of Israel's Gentile oppressors. Accordingly, the second vision initially presented four horns, and the angel speaking with Zechariah explained that they represented the entities that had scattered and mistreated Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So we identify those horns as four successive Gentile nations that run through the times of the Gentiles. They run parallel through this situation. Now, to help identify these horns, we presume that the scope of this vision is the same as that of the other seven night visions. All the other visions in this series of seven visions cover the entire period of time from Israel's Babylonian captivity all the way to the Messianic Kingdom of Christ. So we would assume that this vision would do the same as that. All of them, this one is no exception, extend through the centuries and on to the establishment of the Messianic Kingdom over Israel. All of them have their fulfillment in events preparatory to the setting up of that kingdom or to the established order which will prevail in the millennium itself. Thus, the four horns then must symbolize the four great powers which will be coterminous, that means parallel, with the times of the Gentiles that is mentioned in Luke 21:24, which period began with Judah's captivity under Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC and runs to the second advent of the Lord Jesus. These powers are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Macedonian Greece, that distinguishes it from the current nation of Greece, obviously, and Rome. Now the fourth horn representing Rome has not yet been destroyed, but has subsided in power, but it will be revived in the future Great Tribulation period under the Antichrist. We know that from Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. See, Rome was never conquered. It just sort of quiesced. But the entity of Rome itself, the empire, the people, the Romans, they're still all in place, have been in place all these years. But it's going to be revived. And we know that from Revelation 13, 1 to 10, and the Antichrist is going to rule over the Roman Empire. And apparently it will be out of the city of Rome itself. Now, after presenting the horns, God showed Zechariah four craftsmen. That's how the New International Version and the English Standard Version interpret it, and I go with that as well. These would terrify and cast down the four Gentile nations that had oppressed Israel. Now, we need to explain these craftsmen, because the question is, you've got these four Gentile empires that go one after the other. The question is, what are these craftsmen? These craftsmen are four, And who are these four craftsmen? What are they? Well, since the four horns represent four successive Gentile empires that span the times of the Gentiles, from Judah's fall to Babylon to the Messianic kingdom, the four craftsmen must represent four successive powers, likewise running coterminously, that is parallel, with the very same period and used by God to terrify and to cast down the enemies of God's people. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 to 45 and 7, 2 to 13, teach that three of the horns in turn and under the punitive hand of God become craftsmen, while the fourth and last horn is cast down by the worldwide kingdom set up by Christ, who returns to dash in pieces his enemies, who are his people's enemies. Thus the first horn, Babylon, is cast down by Medo-Persia, the second horn. The second horn, Medo-Persia, accordingly becomes the first craftsman. The second horn, Medo-Persia, is cast down by the third horn, and that becomes thus the second craftsman. The third horn, Macedonian Greece, is in turn cast down by the fourth horn, Rome, which thus becomes the third craftsman. The fourth horn, Rome, the most dreadful of all, does not become a craftsman, but in its revived ten-kingdom form of the last days, is dreadful of all. And it is destroyed by the fourth craftsman, the millennial kingdom set up by the returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the millennial kingdom is seen in Daniel 2, 37 to 45, as the stone cut from the mountain that destroys the image that represents the previous successive Gentile oppressors of Israel. So the lesson is, due to God's anger at four successive Gentile empires that have scattered and oppressed his people as horns, these empires will themselves be terrified and destroyed by four craftsmen, successive empires that God will use to punish each of Israel's oppressive empires, with Christ destroying the last oppressive empire of Rome. In other words, these empires are like dominoes that the people put up, and you hit the one domino and it starts to knock the second down, second hits the third, and eventually it knocks them all down. That's what's going on here. So, and of course, the fourth or the final empire is the empire of which you and I are part, that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that empire will destroy the, in fact, not only the Roman Empire, but the Roman Empire, we know from Revelation chapter 13, has remnants of all the other empires in it. And all of those empires will be utterly demolished. And so Christ is going to start over with individuals, and then he's going to rebuild the institutions of mankind from the ground up. So due to God's anger, four successive Gentile empires that have scattered and oppressed his people as horns, these empires will themselves be terrified and destroyed by four craftsmen, successive empires that God will use to punish each of Israel's oppressive empires, with Christ destroying the last oppressive empire of Rome. So, may we not mistreat the Hebrew people. For the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12, 1-3, still holds, so that God will punish those who oppress them. And then secondly, may we hope in Christ's coming kingdom blessings. You know, it's easy today. I listen every now and then to conservative talk radio and watching the news and everything. It's easy to get discouraged because there's just all this negative in this Marxist ideology that is pouring out. But you and I are part of the final kingdom that is coming, that's going to destroy, under Christ, it's going to destroy all these evil kingdoms that have been before and the remnants of them. And Christ will build up his kingdom of righteousness and peace and glory. So we've got a wonderful future ahead of us. This life is short. We're going to be spending eternity. In fact, that kingdom, according to Daniel chapter 2, will never pass away. It'll always be. And we will be part of that. 10 trillion years from now, we're still going to be part of that kingdom. So we need to be optimistic. Our hope is in the future. It's not in this life. A lot of people are hoping in this life, and they're being constantly disillusioned as a result of their hope we need to shift our hope from this life to the life that is coming. I think one reason why God is allowing all this to occur is to get us to look home, for home, heaven. That's where we belong. Past generations of Christians always did. They never viewed this life as a bowl full of cherries. They always viewed heaven as the place that we're looking for. And that's what we need to do. We need to get back to that. So we should never mistreat the Hebrew people, for the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12:1-3 still holds, of course, so that God will punish those who oppress them. We need to be kind. And of course, we need to be kind and loving to all men. But especially the Jewish people, we need to be very, very protective of them. It makes me very nervous when I understand that there's anti-Semitism that's building in our country. Even locally, there are problems with that. It makes me nervous when our government seems to be lax and not being supportive of the people of Israel. But we need to be very careful that way. But our hope is in the kingdom that is to come. Mm-hmm.